I have one question for you. I'm going to prepare you. I'm kind of cueing you. How many of us are ready for God's Word?
Amen.
Thank you. See, golly, it does not take that much. All right. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 2, please. Daniel, chapter 2. It's towards the middle of your Bible, towards the end of the Old Testament. All right. And I'm going to give you a lot of time to get there as I try to get there myself. Past Jeremiah, past Ezekiel. Gosh, Ezekiel lasts forever. And then you have Daniel. Okay. All right. And we last couple weeks, we've been talking about our changeless core, that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who's thankful that Jesus, the Jesus we love, the Jesus we serve, the Jesus we worship, is the same as he was 2,000 years ago as depicted in the four Gospels?
Amen.
I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he still forgives the way he forgave back then. Who's thankful for that? Who's thankful that he restores broken lives, and that he heals people, and that he touches people, and that he is on people's side? I'm thankful that he is that today, because I need that today, and he'll be that way forever.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for that Hebrews 13:8 passage. He is changeless. Now, we're going to take a massive shift, and we're going to do like another mini-series that kind of goes, it'll be coupled hand-in-hand with that changeless core, with the core series we just got off of. And I want to talk about times and seasons. You know, we said that even as our God is a changeless God, unchanging, and he is our inner core, who has ever found out that when you hold on to that changeless core of Jesus Christ on the inside, that he will never let you down? While everything else is changing around you, wow. You know, I remember one afternoon, soon after my ex had asked me to move out of the house, and so I was in an apartment in a neighboring town. And I remember one afternoon, I was walking to the laundromat there in that complex, and was doing laundry, and it hit me, you know, it just hit me, the shock of it all, that, you know, after 30 years, I was used to a certain routine and having certain people around me, and now here I am on my own. How many of y'all would call that change? The trauma, the shock, the sting, the pain of that. You know, I remember for probably a couple of weeks, I just sat. After work, I would go to my apartment, and I just sat there. No TV, no nothing. And I think I was just absolutely in shock. You know, how many of y'all know that you don't have to get divorced to experience that level of shock?
Amen.
You know, a precious family in our community, they experienced a far greater shock. And we should continue praying for them, you know. But that's part of, unfortunately, that's a part of the existence that we live on this side of heaven. Now, what am I getting at? Life changes. But do you realize that there are also massive wholesale scale changes that happen in our world? Who was an adult? I mean, I'm sure we were all probably elementary school kids when we were in the 80s. That would have been a great time to have said, amen. Who remembers how simple, much more simple life was back in the 80s? Sure, we had the threat of communism. We had the threat of Russia. But who still remembers, compared to what we have now, who would agree with me that we've taken way massive steps in changes worldwide?
Amen.
Right? So, have you found Daniel chapter 2? Like I said, it's towards the middle of your Bible. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. And I want us to pay attention to this verse, okay? It says here, And he there in verse 21. Did I say verse 21? Verse 20. Sorry. Verse 21. Daniel 2, verse 21. And he there is referring to God. And God changes the what and the what? The times and the seasons. Notice carefully. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Very, very important verse. God changes times and seasons. Who believes that with a character, the character of the king will determine the quality of the life in that quote-unquote kingdom?
Amen.
Right? I mean, if you have a good quote-unquote ruler, a national ruler, you're going to have good things come out of that ruling office. But if you have a bad one, then you're going to have bad things come out. Notice, God does what to kings? He raises them up and he disposes them. He puts them down. Who agrees with me that sometimes, whether we like it or not, that God will allow, let's just speak particularly for our country. It's true of all countries because he's the God of all nations, right? But who believes with me that whether we sought to vote for a certain political pundit to get him in office, that God's will ultimately be trump the human will?
Amen.
Like it or not, baby. Right? He raises rulers up. He puts rulers. He disposes of them. He raises certain kings up. And in that way, the times and the seasons change. Notice what he says in the second half of the verse. Very, very important. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. I find it very interesting that during these wholesale changes of the times and the seasons, that God says he will give us wisdom. Who believes with me this morning that when there are massive scale changes, that it is time for God's people to receive God's wisdom during those changes?
Amen.
We have to be wise. We have to understand, listen carefully, church family, we have to understand the times we're living in. Number one, in fact, let's put up that 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 verse, please. Notice, and this is talking about talking about the different tribes of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the what? They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That when the times changed, this particular group of people, they knew, they had understanding of the times. They knew the times they were living in, and they knew what to do in those times. Right? Now, I'm going to get very, very practical, church family. And this is going to be a little pep talk for all of us in here, but it's going to be a pep talk for all believers and all those within the reach of Locust Grove. This has been on my heart for months, and I've kind of hinted at it in different messages here and there. Listen, it grieves me when the church becomes, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church universal of Jesus Christ, right? That when the church becomes so irrelevant because we don't understand the times we are living in, and because we don't understand the times we are living in, then we don't understand what to do. And let me break it down. We don't understand how to reach people today because we still think that we live in a Christian nation. Who would agree with me today? Baby, if you think that, you are way living in the dark ages. Look at some of the statistics. Let's just pull some of the Christian statistics. A lot of Christians don't believe in the virgin birth. Some Christians don't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all know that if you got to be, if you're going to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead?
Amen.
Right? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
You have to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. That is not an optional doctrine. That is at the core of our salvation as followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But they poll a lot of Christians. They'll say, I don't know if I believe in the resurrection. Jesus was a good moral teacher. He was a great example. You know, he had some sort of divine spark in him. Yoo-hoo. We need to understand the times we are living in, church family. And we have to understand and have wisdom from God on what to do. And listen carefully, how to reach the people that are now present among us. Right? Let's go back to basics. Who believes with me that Jesus loves the whole world?
Amen.
Who believes with me that Jesus died for all the sinners?
Amen.
Who believes with me that sinners that don't know Jesus, you know, and I say sinners, we're all sinners here today. Even if you're a believer or not, listen, baby, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. This church has got, the Church of Jesus Christ has got to be divine because it's always been full of sinners. Listen, it's got to be divine or people would have killed it off a long time ago. I'm a sinner. But listen, and my train of thought was, you know, who believes with me that people who don't know Jesus Christ are acting out of a dark nature because they don't have the light of God in their lives? So can I ask another question? Then why do we single out sins? If their sinning is a symptom of their dark condition, then why are we opposed to this sin? Why are we opposed to that sin? Why is it that on Facebook, on any given newsfeed, you'll see this sin attacked, you'll see this sin blown up? You know, church family, the reality is when we do that, when we single out certain sins and we single out certain people groups, we're saying, I'm better than them. Are we better than anybody else? But for the grace of God, there go we.
Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like those posts. I don't even click like. I don't even click, much less click love. I don't put a comment on them because I'm always, as a pastor, I'm always aware, what if somebody walked in that was a practicing whatever that sin is, and I won't mention them by name because I don't want anybody hearing this message and saying, well, he's picking on us. He's picking on me. No, I'm not picking on anybody. But who wants them to come to church? Don't you think they need to be in church? Right? Well, then why would they come to a church that's picking on their sin?
Amen.
Gosh. Does the Church of Jesus Christ need understanding of the times we're living in?
Yes.
Right? Listen, there's a new religion that our culture worships, even in America. It's called secular humanism. Secular humanism. We ourselves are God. We decide what is best for us. Hello? Our culture is very, very religious. They just don't have the faith background that many of us grew up with. And the faith that we still hold to.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we send our kids off to college and they have some numbskull college professor telling them there's no such thing as God. Really? That one dude, because he does not believe in God, You know, and he's going to go on the attack mode trying to discredit God. You know what, baby? Let me see if we have children old enough now. I don't believe in the tooth fairy, but I don't go on attack against her. I don't believe in the Easter bunny, but do I hold, you know, little placards up? I know, Terry, sorry. If they don't believe in God, why do they get so vitriol in their attacks of God? Because deep down inside, listen, they really believe that there is a moral accounting at the end of all of our lives about their lives. Don't preach me down, or don't shout me down, rather, because I'm preaching pretty decent this morning. You know, gosh. I love the book of Acts. And I love a lot of the messages that are shared in the book of Acts. You know, there's that great message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. We don't have to turn there. It's in Acts chapter 2. And who was the predominant audience? Scott, who was the predominant audience in Acts 2? Jews. Even converted, Gentiles that converted to Judaism, right? They came from all parts of that known world to Jerusalem for that festival, the Feast of Pentecost. Am I right? They came to worship Yahweh. They were Jews. So listen carefully, church family. Peter preached a sermon, and he borrowed a lot of quotes from the Old Testament in his sermon to address his audience as Jews. And he ended up this amazing thing. He even told them, he got in their grill, he said, "You guys crucified the Lord. And you guys need to repent," this is verse 38, "and be baptized, all of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he ends up by saying, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He knew his audience. Now let's fast forward from chapter 2 of Acts to chapter 17 of Acts. Then you have Paul the Apostle, who was not just an apostle to the Jews. He was predominantly an apostle to the Gentiles. Am I right, Scott? And he reads, you know, I once had a, golly, some people are so dumb. I had a youth pastor one time, gosh. He's like, "Pastor, I never received a formal education in Bible, but man, I'm just like Peter. You know, I can still preach. I'm an unlearned fisherman. I can still preach." And I thought, really? And I thought, well, let me tell you, buddy, Paul the Apostle was educated, and notice all the many other people that he reached that Peter couldn't. So that $35,000 going into education didn't go to waste. And Paul the Apostle came upon the Greek Areopagus. It was a platform of different ideas where people gathered, and there was a council that sat there to entertain different thoughts. And Paul the Apostle did not preach the Acts chapter 2 message. They would have said, "Huh? What are you talking about, Paul?" He said, he looked around and he saw an altar to an unknown God, right? And he said, "Let me tell you about this unknown God." And he began to slowly, without using scripture, listen carefully, using some of the Greek's scripture, he said, "Let me tell you about this God." And he preached a message that connected with him. At the end, some believed in him. Others wanted to stone him. But listen, he made sense to them. This is my point. Two different sermons, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 17, two different audiences, the Jews who were very religious, and then also the Greeks at that place were very religious, except with pagan religion. Two different sermons, two different speakers. Can I bring it into today? Today, we are preaching Acts chapter 2 sermons to a world that is Acts chapter 17. And then we get all huffy when we get lampooned and we're called buffoons. Yeah, there went that $35,000 education. It's somewhere in there. It's in the dictionary somewhere. We're called, what is it, buffoons? We're called buffoons because we don't make any sense to this generation that was not brought up with a Christian faith. Listen, I feel like the Lord is purging me from all judgmentalism. I want to look at a human being as one who is loved by God deeply and who has been given great gifting by God and purpose, but whose purpose can only be found through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to remove all the obstacles, remove all the hurdles, and not undermine my own efforts. Listen, church family, I don't want to undermine my own efforts to reach them for Jesus. Amen. On Thursday, my wife and I went to, we met a couple from church at a restaurant. And there's a waitress there that, you know, she has heard me talk Spanish to the waiters, the servers and such. And she kind of connected. She said she's taking Spanish in school. She's probably still in high school, babe, wouldn't you say? Or maybe just a little after. Anyway, she was, this will tell you what, you know, she didn't know us from Adam. And so when she first saw us there, this would have been before we got married, way. And she said, "Are you guys living together?" I said, "No." I said, "She drives up to see me." And so Thursday, she saw me and my wife. We were checking out. We were paying, and she was the lady taking the money. And she said, "Has your lady moved in with you?" I said, "No, we're married." And I showed her my ring. I said, "No, we're married." And she says, "Oh," she said, "well, I moved in with my boyfriend," because she talks to me a lot, right, babe, about her boyfriend. And she said, "I moved in, and I just keep hoping that he puts a ring on my finger." I said, "Sweetie, this is what I did not say. Listen to what I did not say, Christians. Why buy the cow? Can I get a witness?" And I did not go into some little diatribe and look down at her from my long pharisaical nose and point my long pharisaical and sadduceical, whatever you call that, finger at her and say, "You need to quit shacking up." How many Christians do that? I said, this is what I said. I talked to her real, in a language she could understand. I said, "Sweetie, don't make it easy on him." Amen. See how there are many ways to communicate truth that doesn't belittle, berate, judge, put down? Come on, somebody. Amen. It's time that we love people and quit being so cotton-picking religious. Why can't we just love people for who they are the same way Jesus loves them for who they are? Amen. The times have changed. There are new times. There are new seasons. Well, Pastor Joe, I love the Lord. And I love His Word. Well, by George, isn't it time that you start loving the lost? Why don't we just love the Lord and love the Word and not love the people that God loves? Amen. I figured it out. I've told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I know what your body needs. I know what the body of Christ needs. It needs a divine enema." I've told him that. And I said, "Lord, let me be the one that's holding up the hot water bottle. And then I'll get out of the way when it's blowback time."
We call it a 5H.
A 5H? Lord, they need a 5H. Do you see where I'm coming from, church family? Can we just be Jesus to people without prejudging them? Listen, I hope there are people that come in here that are questioning their gender. Hello. We got to love like Jesus loves. Right? So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to close this with this verse of scripture. Is this a good lesson, church family?
Yes.
A good reminder? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's let the word speak it forth. We're going to jump into verse 18. Notice carefully. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or reckoning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Not counting their sins against them. Did you see that? God was in Christ reconciling all the world to himself, not counting their sins. Why does the church feel like they have to count their sins against them when Jesus didn't even do that? Let's just love people. Changing times and changing seasons call for new Holy Spirit-inspired methods to reach people. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together in your word. Help us, Lord, to share in this passion of purity towards those who don't know Jesus, towards those who are lost. Lord, they don't have a moral compass. What moral compass they do have was given through them, not by you, maybe by someone that maybe thought they knew about you, or maybe they did go to Sunday school class as kids. But other forces have come in and tried to define for them their values, to decide what their values should be in life. And many of them have found that doesn't work. Lord, help us to discern the times and the seasons, to have understanding, to have wisdom, and to know what to do. In Jesus' name, amen.